Welcome back. In this lesson, we're building one of the most useful DJ tools in drum and bass, a ThinkBreak switch-up with an automation-first workflow in Ableton Live 12. The idea here is simple, but powerful. Instead of stacking a ton of new sounds, we're going to shape energy with phrasing, edits, and automation so the section feels intentional, dark, and club-ready. This is the kind of transition that can turn a solid roller into something that feels bigger and more played, without rewriting the whole track. A ThinkBreak switch-up usually lands at a phrase boundary, like bar 17, bar 33, or the last four bars before drop. That placement matters. In DNB, phrasing is everything. If the groove bangs for 8 bars, but nothing changes near the end of the phrase, the ear starts to check out. A good switch-up gives the crowd a reset, a fake-out, or a new drum feel before snapping back into the main impact. So here's the mindset for this lesson. Treat the switch-up like a mixed transition, not like a mini-song. We're redirecting attention, not introducing 5 new ideas at once. That's the whole game. Start by marking out a 16-bar section. Put locators on each 4-bar block so the arrangement stays easy to read. You can think of it like this. The first 4 bars establish the ThinkBreak feel, the next 4 bars let the bass answer, the third block raises tension, and the final block strips down and prepares the return. That simple arc gives you a clean, DJ-friendly structure. Now let's build the drum side. Start with a break source from your existing drum rack or a resampled break loop. If it's audio, warp it cleanly and slice it where the groove feels strongest. If it's already in drum rack, keep it tight and editable. For the break, we want energy, but not a full jungle rinse unless that's the actual goal. The ThinkBreak feel comes from restraint. High pass the break lightly around 120 to 180 Hz so it doesn't fight the sub. Keep the snare transient strong, but if the top is getting harsh, trim a little around 7 to 10 Khz. And if the rhythm feels too rigid, use the groove pull with a swing somewhere around 55 to 58%. That can add just enough human shuffle without making it sloppy. If you're layering a top break, keep it quieter than the main loop and focus it above 2 Khz. The job of that layer is to add chatter and motion, not to clutter the low mids. Next, build the bass response. This is important. The bass should answer the break, not just sit under it. In a switch-up, especially in darker rollers or neural-leaning tracks, the strongest move is usually short phrases with space around them. Use stock devices like operator or wavetable for the source, then shape it with saturator, EQ8, and utility. Keep the sub layer simple, clean, and mono. Let the mid layer do the movement. If you're using a Reese or detuned mid bass, keep the automation subtle. You want controlled bite, not uncontrolled wobble. A good starting point is a saturator drive around 2 to 6 dB for some grit, utility width on the sub at 0%, and a low pass movement on the mid bass that opens and closes over the phrase. If you're using wavetable, a little LFO movement can go a long way. Keep it in the subtle range, around 10 to 25% modulation depth. Now let's phrase it. For example, bar 1, no bass at all, just break. Bar 2, one short re-stab on beat 1. Bar 3, a sub hit on beat 3. Bar 4, either silence or a tail leading into the fill. That kind of call and response keeps the groove breathing. The ear loves contrast, and in DNB, one short answer can hit harder than a busy pattern. This is where the automation-first workflow really starts to shine. We're going to use automation as the main arrangement tool. In Ableton Live 12, draw directly an arrangement view and focus on a few key lanes instead of trying to automate everything. The main lanes to think about are filter movement, send effects, gain, and maybe one saturation or delay parameter. For example, automate auto-filter on the drum bus so it gradually closes down and then snaps open right before the return. Automate the bass low pass so it opens over 4 bars, but stop short of full brightness if you want that darker vibe. Use reverb or echo for short throws on the last snare or break hit, then cut them off before the next phrase lands. And here's a big teacher note. Curve matters. In DNB, a super clean linear ramp can feel too neat. Slightly curved rises and last second dips feel more human, and more like a selector shaping the floor in real time. Now we shape the break itself. This is where the drums start talking. Small edits in the last 2 bars of each 4-bar block can do a lot. Remove one kick to create breath. Add ghost snares or soft rim shots before the main snare. Duplicate a break hit and pitch it a little for a fill. Reverse a tiny cymbal or snare tail into the next phrase. Even muting the break for a half beat can create a really effective stutter. If you want to keep things tidy, slice the break into drum rack for fast rearrangement. Then consolidate your favorite one bar or two bar variation so the project stays clean. The goal is not to build 100 clips. It's to take one or two strong ideas and make them feel deliberate. Now for transition FX. This is where the DJ tool's mindset matters most. Use echo, reverb, auto filter, simple delay, or ping pong delay with restraint. These are not supposed to turn the section into a cinematic breakdown. They're there to help the mix read clearly on a dance floor. A short reverse-style reverb throw on the last snare of a phrase can work great. Echo on a percussion hit with 1/8 or dotted 1/8 feedback can add a nice tail. High-pass your FX returns so the low end stays clean. And right before the drop comes back, dip the filter and then snap it open. That little reset can feel massive when it's done with precision. One of the best moves in this style is to use contrast between dry and present versus wide and distant. So for a moment, let the track step back, then bring it forward again. You can do that with send levels, width, and subtle EQ shifts without adding extra instruments. Now let's talk about the return, because the return is everything. If the switch-up is interesting in the middle but the comeback is weak, the whole thing loses impact. You want the final two bars to clearly signal the next section. A strong return might look like this. Bar 13, break and filtered bass. Thin arrangement. Bar 14, a fill and a short restab. Bar 15, near silence except for hat or an FX tail. Bar 16, full return with kick and sub together, and the main groove restored. That sequence makes the crowd feel the reset coming, which is exactly what you want in a club context. Before you call it done, check the low end. Automation heavy sections can get messy fast if you're not careful. Make sure the sub stays mono with utility. Use EQ8. To carve a little space around 200 to 350 HC if the break and bass are crowding each other. Use glue compressor lightly on the drum bus, just enough to glue the break without flattening it. And compare the switch up against your drop so the dip feels intentional, not like a volume problem. A really useful test is to solo the drum bus and bass bus together, then toggle mono. If the switch up falls apart in mono, the sub is probably too vague and the mid-range is doing all the heavy lifting. Clean low end is non-negotiable, even in the darkest D&B sections. A few common mistakes to avoid here. First, too much bass during the break. Thin it out and let the break lead. Second, over-automating everything at once. Usually 2 to 4 automation lanes are enough. Third, making the break busy but not exciting. Often the fix is not more layers, but better edits. And finally, don't let the FX wash cover the return. High pass the returns and cut the tails before the downbeat. If you want to push the darker, heavier side, you've got some great options. You can automate distortion on the bass bus so the last four bars get a little dirtier, then pull it back for the drop. You can keep the reese movement in the mids only while the sub stays clean. You can even resample a bar or two of the transition once the automation feels good, then chop that audio into fresh fills or reverse tails. That classic D&B resampling workflow often sounds more cohesive than endlessly stacking more live clips. Another strong concept is using silence as part of the groove. One of the heaviest sounds in D&B is space. Let the bass hit, then leave a gap. Let the break chatter, then cut it for a beat. That contrast makes the next hit feel huge. Here's a quick practice exercise. Loop 4 bars before a drop. Mute the main bass for the first 2 bars. Add a chopped break or edited break fill using drum rock or audio slicing. Automate an auto filter on the drum bus from open to slightly closed, then back open. Add one bass response note or stab in bar 3. Put a short reverb or echo throw on the final snare hit. Then on bar 4, strip everything down except a tail, and bring the drop back in. Keep it simple. Use only stock Ableton devices and no more than 3 automation lanes. Then ask yourself 3 questions. Does the break lead the energy? Does the bass answer with intent, and does the last bar clearly prepare the drop? If yes, you've built a usable D&B switch-up seed. So to wrap it up, the core idea is this. A great think break switch-up in Ableton Live 12 is built from phrasing, not clutter. Keep the drums alive with edits and ghost notes. Make the bass answer in short phrases. Use automation to shape the section like a DJ tool. Focus on filter movement, send throws, and clean low-end discipline. In drum and bass, the strongest switch-ups feel tight, dark, and intentional, like the track is breathing before it hits again. That's the kind of pivot that keeps the floor locked in.